The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It's good to be with you. Hard to believe it's already the end of the week. Friday is upon us, and we've got the big weekend coming up for those of us in God's church, a special weekend that culminates in the Feast of Trumpets on Monday. And in between Trumpets and tomorrow's seventh-day Sabbath, we have the personal appearance campaign in Ocala, Florida. We've got something like 130 or 40 people expected at that event in the northern part of Florida. And then from there, we head down to the central part of Florida for the Trumpets Holy Day. So an exciting weekend planned. Brent Noctegal will be subbing in on the program Monday morning. We'll hopefully have some stats and figures from the Ocala Pack on the Tuesday show. And then, of course, thanks also to Richard for filling in on yesterday's program. He was saying earlier today, by the way, that this has been one of the more frustrating weeks of news gathering that he's had. Just so much craziness going on in the UK, in the United States, in the little state of Israel, just like Brad McDonald pointed out in his trumpet brief last night, trying to pull us back for a moment so that we can see the big picture. In the midst of this daily grind of observing the news, all of this insidious corruption, just pure evil, it's important for us to step back and to understand or to see what is happening and what's behind this and where this is leading. Here you have a U.S. president who's on the verge of being impeached. We'll see if the Democrats go forward with it. And then all of this... Well, the calls for British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to step down, and Richard, of course, addressed this somewhat yesterday. They're doing some of the same things that they did with Donald Trump when he first came into office, holding up severed heads of Boris Johnson. The radical left, what did my father say in that Saving America article? We're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and to stay in power. We get a hard look at that every single day. Every day we're seeing it. We talked recently about the media attacks on Netanyahu in Israel. Now he's the one that's getting a chance to form a government first. So it looks like he might barely hang on. But he's going up against a lot, just like President Trump, just like Prime Minister Johnson as well. Brad McDonald points out in his trumpet brief, he says, first, let's try and capture the magnitude of what we're witnessing. It's an understatement to say that these three countries are in extreme political crisis. The term crisis suggests a momentary or passing event. It implies an eventual return to normalcy. But normal has been irreparably broken. The problems plaguing these nations are now institutional. They're so deeply rooted that they are incurable, at least by man. They are terminal. What he's describing there is what's prophesied in Isaiah 1. I've been bringing this out. There is no ointment. There is no cure for this sickness. It's not going to be fixed. And so to even call it a crisis or a political crisis, it's not a proper description, because that implies that, well, it'll eventually return to normal. It won't. It's going to be nonstop. It does intensify, I'm sure, around God's annual festivals. But this is a nonstop political war. They're not going to go down, the radical left. They're going to fight and fight and fight. And they're desperate. Well, we are having a leadership crisis for sure. He points out in the Trumpet brief that just removing Donald Trump from the equation or Boris Johnson, that's not going to fix the problems. And that's true. They run deep. It's an attack on the institutions of these countries. In the Trumpet brief, it says this assault on tradition is led by the radical left, which today brandishes unprecedented power and influence in all three nations. And he refers to the powerful media in the United States with stations like CNN and MSNBC and all the main networks. And over in the UK, you have the BBC far to the left. Channel 12 in Israel, it's all the same. The New York Times, The Guardian, far left. Haaretz, the Israeli left-wing newspaper. These are the most influential papers in our nations. And look at what they're printing. Look at the messages coming from these news agencies. It says all of these developments expose the fact that the radical left's hatred is not confined to Mr. Trump, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Netanyahu. The radical left has a fanatic hatred of the core traditions, institutions, and beliefs of these nations. It hates America and Britain's Judeo-Christian heritage. In Israel, it despises its Zionist and Jewish roots. The radical left hates Trump, Johnson, and Netanyahu because these men embody and embrace these traditions. And so the only objective is to remove these men from office. Richard gave me an article today from The Spectator. There's only one law. There must be no Brexit. And you can add to that, I guess, a secondary law. Oh, and remove Boris Johnson. He needs to be beheaded politically. And the one law in the United States, that's clear. Donald Trump is pure evil. That's the only law that the radical left submits to. Everything flows through that lens. Here again, we're getting a hard look at just what the radical left is willing to do in order to seize power and stay in power. Now we have to keep looking at the prophecies. And as I say, the big picture here, where is this leading? My father, just in the August Trumpet magazine, he had an article, Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government? It's a good question. The government's clearly divided. Can he get control of it? Well, prophecy does indicate that he will maintain control, at least for a short time. You know all that we've said before about it being temporary. But look at the attacks just from this past week. Last weekend, you had the whistleblower, all of these reports from the New York Times and other agencies like that, talking about the phone call. We didn't have the complaint. We didn't have the transcript. We didn't have anything except the media telling us there was a quid pro quo, that he pressured Biden, or rather pressured the Ukrainian president to investigate Biden, I think 7 or 8 times. That's what we knew last weekend. And then the media frenzy. And Nancy Pelosi, I guess it was Tuesday, she finally says, all right, we'll go ahead and open this impeachment inquiry. And then that night, President Trump said, all right, I'll go ahead and release the transcripts to the phone conversation. I don't think the Democrats were expecting that to happen. So the transcripts come out on Wednesday, I think just a little while after our program on Wednesday morning. And then you've seen the reporting. Richard touched on some of this yesterday. It's like a 4 or 5 page transcript of the phone conversation, and the media keys in on the statements the president made about how the United States has been really good to Ukraine. And then he says, now we need a favor from you. And then they jump right to investigate Joe Biden. They just skip or delete about 540 words in order to construct this narrative. It has to be, it keep in mind, it all flows from the supreme law of the land in their minds. Donald Trump is evil. So how can we pick and choose from this transcript to construct this narrative that proves he's evil? That's what's been going on since Wednesday. The whistleblower, he says, I was not a direct witness to most of these events described. We now know he works for the CIA. Not a direct witness. He's just some guy. I guess he was stationed in the White House for a time. He heard about the conversation. And then he's the one. This is all carefully orchestrated. You have to keep that in mind, too. It didn't just happen. Guess what's coming out soon? You've got the IG report. We'll talk a little bit later about what is scaring the Democrats right now, even from that phone conversation. But a CIA official, I think it was one of the Fox commentators last night, talking about the origins of the CIA. It started in 1947. Harry Truman started it. That's not that long ago. It was started by the presidency. The presidency of the United States. And it wasn't long before Harry Truman realized this is out of control. This is from the CIA website. In Truman's most extended account in his memoirs, he related how he discovered the lack of coordinated intelligence in Washington, asked what was being done about it, solicited advice, issued what he referred to as an executive order, and presto, then began to receive a daily digest of information, first from his Central Intelligence Group, and then when the CIG was renamed in the National Security Act of 1947 from his CIA. That's his view of the event, it says on his website. One of his proudest accomplishments, according to his daughter, Margaret. Well, there's others that have said he saw after the fact that this was getting out of hand. But just to go back to the origins, he needed a daily digest of information. He wanted it all to flow through the CIA so that he could just be better informed. And now look at what CIA officials are doing. They are actively working to undermine the president, to attack the president. These are the shadowy figures that are working in an agency. They never were elected. They're just in these organizations, and they think they know how to run the country. They know more than the president. In the trumpet brief, Brad McDonald talks about, again, making the point that my father did in the Saving America piece about just how or what they're willing to do in order to obtain power, to seize power. Mr. McDonald says they very often have no time for facts or evidence. It doesn't matter if it says this or that. Okay, so President Trump surprised them, saying, you can have the transcript. And then he said after that, you can have transcripts of other discussions. You want to hear what Mike Pence said to a Ukrainian official? Okay, if this is the way it's going to be, he knows, anyone should know, that this compromises U.S. security. It compromises America's position, its standing in the world. How are world leaders going to open up to Donald Trump if they know that every single conversation is going to come under scrutiny from who? Well, a CIA official, the agency that was established in 1947 to help keep the president informed. That's the reason. That's the reason it was established. But now it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't matter even what he says if the transcript is revealed. He's evil. We know this. So even if he doesn't say it, well, we know what he meant. Listen to Adam Schiff. This is in the circus hearing yesterday. He's the chairman. He's the one presiding over the hearing. And this is how he characterizes the conversation that President Trump had with Ukrainian President Zelensky. Clip one.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only seven times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine.
That's Adam Schiff, the chairman of this committee that's now investigating this conversation. These are the initial stages of the impeachment proceedings. And what he said there, not one bit of it is in the transcript of the conversation. Well, I mean, he's pulling a word here and there, but this is his take. This is what the conversation in his mind meant. And as several commentators pointed out on Twitter and elsewhere, if the conversation itself was so damning, then why not just read directly from it? You've got the words. You've got the transcript. It's all out there. Everyone can see it. And yet, here he is. Even though everyone can see it, he's giving you his interpretation of what it means. He knows. Even if the words aren't there, and you've heard Democrats come out and say this, well, look, there doesn't have to be an actual quid pro quo in writing for there to have been a quid pro quo. One of the committee members called him out on this. He said that while you were giving your opening statement, I got a text message from a friend who said he's just making this up. And that's what he was doing. He was making it up. And here's how Chairman Schiff responded to that criticism. Clip two.
As an aside, I want to mention that my colleague is right on both counts. It's not okay. But also, my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody. The fact that that's not clear is a separate problem in and of itself. Of course, the president never said, if you don't understand me, I'm going to say it seven more times. My point is, that's the message that the Ukraine president was receiving in not so many words.
And, of course, people hopped on that, focusing on parody. Well, I was joking in part, but the real important point that he made was right there at the end. His point is that that's the message that the Ukraine president was receiving in not so many words. That's the message he was receiving. The president didn't say that, but he knows what the president meant, Schiff does, and he knows how the Ukraine president received it. He knows what's going on in both minds. The U.S. president and the president of Ukraine. Well, here's Trey Gowdy. He's the former congressman commenting on Schiff just making stuff up. This is clip three.
Well, if you don't have good facts, you got to make them up. Adam Schiff has one of the worst senses of humor of anyone I've ever met. So he doesn't need to try parody. But you got to keep in mind, Martha, this is the same Schiff that said he had evidence of collusion He's not making that mistake this time. He's not claiming he's got something he doesn't have. He's just going to make it up. And he made it up on national television.
Schiff, yeah, Gowdy points out, he was the one that said before everything came to light, before the Mueller report was finalized, he told America, I've got the evidence. I've seen it. I know there was Russian collusion. And, of course, he never brought that evidence forward. He was just making that up, too. Now we've flip-flopped over to Ukraine. Ukraine, I hope I have time to cover this later, but Ukraine and Russia are enemies. Okay, so which one is the president colluding with? It was Russia, Russia, Russia. And now it's Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Coming back to this PJ Media article, it says, is there a single fact in this whole mess that is actually true? Is there one single fact in what we've seen transpire over the last week? Is there one thing that's actually true? My father, in that article from August, can President Trump get control of his own divided government? He refers to the June 8th, 2018 memo by William Barr. He's the one, remember, the attorney general, the current attorney general, who reveres the law. And he's the one, really, that exposed the fraud that the whole Mueller investigation was propped up on. A complete and total fraud. He exposed Mueller. He exposed what the Mueller team was doing. There was the obstruction charge. They couldn't get him on collusion. So they went after him on obstruction. And Barr pointed out in this June 8th, 2018 memo that what they're doing in looking at the obstruction statute is they're basically broadening the statute to include anything the president does. Because they know what he's thinking. They know his motivations. And so if he fires Jim Comey, for example, well, then obviously, it's obvious there was something nefarious that motivated that. It wasn't that Jim Comey was incompetent or that Rod Rosenstein said fire him. It's something evil is going on in the president's mind. They know. They know. My father quotes from the Barr memo. He said, the crux of Mueller's position is that whenever the president exercises any of these discretionary powers and thereby influences a proceeding, he has completed the guilty act of the crime of obstruction. Barr said, to establish guilt, all that remains is evaluation of the president's state of mind to divine whether he acted with a corrupt motive. They know. Mueller and the team of lawyers that were working for him, they know. They were able to divine a corrupt motive in the president. My father said this, these men think they can divine whether Trump acted with a corrupt motive. That's a well-chosen word William Barr used, and it really is appropriate for what they are doing. It means to prophesy, to guess, to find out by intuition. They think they can perceive a corrupt motive in their political opponents. It's an interesting word that they used, or that Barr used. It's actually a very a perfect and appropriate word. Divine. So amid all of this nonsense, these lies, is there anything that was true this week? Listen to the way the news media, for their part, listen to the way they just kind of summarize the events of this past week, the conversation with the Ukraine president. Here is their take. And they're all together on this. Keep in mind. They all know. They all know what's going on, and they all describe it even in the same terminology. It's incredible. This is a montage put together by Grabian, clip four.
This president, in his conversations with the president of Ukraine, was speaking like an organized crime boss.
He said this was classic mafia-style talk. About
absolutely.
You don't need to be explicit to set up a shady deal. I mean, if you've ever watched any mafia anything.
I mean, to people who see this kind of stuff in movies, you see mob bosses doing it.
Anyone who watches mob movies knows that's not how it happens.
This strikes me as a call that's really more appropriate to be reading a transcript of from a mob wiretap.
This is how a mafia boss talks.
We always have people talking about how Donald Trump speaks like a mobster.
I don't like these mafia-like tactics to try to intimidate witnesses.
We see this from mob bosses. We do not see this from presidents.
What those notes reflect is a classic mafia-like shakedown of a foreign leader.
He gets the mob talk.
Donald Trump sought to run U.S. foreign policy the way Tony Soprano ran his crime family.
Okay, so the president, you get the message, clearly. He's running a crime family. And, you know, Tony Soprano, he doesn't need to actually say it. Listen, we need to murder this guy. He doesn't actually say it. He just implies it. Or maybe it's just even a wink and a nod. And then the goons know exactly what to do. That's what we have in the White House, they say. Why? Because they know. They can divine corrupt motives. And so it doesn't matter what the statute actually says. It certainly doesn't matter what it says in the transcript. What matters is what they know about Donald Trump or whoever. It's the same in Britain. Richard brought this out yesterday. Listen to Jeremy Corbyn in his statement yesterday. He thinks Boris Johnson has to go. And listen to how he puts it together with all of this violence that, you guessed it, Boris Johnson is responsible for. This is clip eight.
3 years ago, the Labour MP Joe Cox was murdered by a far-right activist who was shouting, "Britain first, this is for Britain." Today, many are deeply concerned about the language used by Boris Johnson. Language which is being repeated by the far right. The Prime Minister knows these words can promote violence and have real consequences. He uses words like surrender to deliberately invoke the feeling that we're at war with each other. He wants division. And it's not just the way he talks about Brexit. Islamophobic hate crime rose by 375% in the week after he described Muslim women as letterboxes. Clearly, he doesn't care about the violence on our streets.
That's Jeremy Corbyn yesterday saying that Boris Johnson's responsible. It's his language that's responsible for Joe Cox's murder 3 years ago. He's the reason Islamophobic hate crime is rising. He doesn't care about the violence on the streets. He went on to say in that statement, I don't have time to play all of it, but he has to be removed from office. Keep in mind, that's law number one, or that's the only law. No Brexit, no Johnson. In the United States, Donald Trump, pure evil. How do we know? Where's the evidence? Where are the facts? Doesn't matter. We know what he's thinking. His thinking's evil. So everything he does is evil. Case closed. We face this. America Under Attack brings this out. We face this in the lawsuit over Herbert Armstrong's literature. Look at what happened to God's Church following the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986. Look at the way that they changed the doctrines and then lied about it and said, "We're not changing anything." They lied. Well, but here are the facts. Here's what Mr. Armstrong said. Here's what you said. No, that's not what we meant. And oh, by the way, I don't think you know what Mr. Armstrong meant. So here they were telling us what was going on in the thinking of Herbert Armstrong and in their thinking. And the only ones that were wrong or evil, it was the Philadelphia Church of God, of course. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. It's a prophecy that many of us live through. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A man of sin in God's church who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He knows. He knows more than God. Going back to that quote from the Barr memo, to establish guilt, all that remains is evaluation of the president's state of mind to divine whether he acted with a corrupt motive. They can divine it. They can divine it. They know more than God himself. It's the same spirit. It's coming from the same devil. Satan the devil, of course, is behind all of this. You step back and look at the bigger picture, and you know what's going on here. You know why it's nonstop. You know why there's no letup. And you can also see from one scandal, quote unquote, from one scandal to the next, it's the same strategy. Make it up. There was total coordination here between the leaker, between the media, Adam Schiff, all of them. And it was all meant to come out right now because of what's coming out on them, because they're about to be exposed. And that was even revealed in the transcript of that conversation with the president talking about CrowdStrike. This is the part, the 540-word part, that the media skipped over. They saw the word favor, and then 600 words later, they saw the word Biden. And then they attached those two together. Favor, Biden. Oh, favor, Biden. It's just crazy. How do you skip 540 words? When you look at the 540, you see that what the president actually wanted was for Ukraine to go back and to investigate the Russia collusion narrative from 2016. He wasn't talking about 2020 at all. He wanted the facts on how the Russia collusion thing got started. That's why he brought up CrowdStrike. The media ignores this. CrowdStrike is the company that the DNC brought in after their servers were supposedly hacked. And so this company comes in, a private company. The FBI, the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, they wanted to go in. This is an attack from Russia, keep in mind. And the FBI and Homeland Security go to the DNC and say, well, hey, we need to look at your servers. If this is an attack from Russia, this supposedly happened in the summer of 2015 when the campaign was in full swing. And you know what the DNC said? They said, yeah, Russia did it, and Donald Trump is part of it. Donald Trump is working in collusion with the Russians. And look, it's so dangerous, it's so bad, that Russia's attacked our servers. So the FBI says, well, hey, we need to look at this. DNC says, nope, can't do it. We've got a private company that's taking care of that. And the private company has determined that it was Russia. That's all that you need to know. What's the clip, Sam? It's later in my notes. The Jim Comey exchange. I think this is clip 7. Here's Jim Comey in his testimony in 2017. He's being asked by a congressman about this private company that said Russia did it. Listen to this exchange between the congressman and James Comey, the former FBI director, or the FBI director at the time. Clip 7.
Did the FBI request access to those devices to perform forensics on?
Yes, we did.
And would that access have provided intelligence or information helpful to your investigation and possibly to the findings included in the intelligence community assessments?
our forensics folks would always prefer to get access to the original device or server that's involved. So it's the best evidence.
Were you given access to do the forensics on those servers?
We were not. We were a highly respected private company, eventually got access and shared with us what they saw there.
But is that typically the way the FBI would prefer to do the forensics, or would your forensics unit rather field the servers and do the forensics themselves?
We'd always prefer to have access hands-on ourselves, if that's possible.
Do you know why you were denied access to those servers?
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure.
Was there one request or multiple requests?
Multiple requests at different levels. And ultimately, what was agreed to is the private company would share with us what they saw.
Multiple requests at different levels. So you have the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, Jim Comey, McCabe, all those people making requests that if you were attacked, then we need to do the forensics on this. The DNC said, no, we've got a private company. And he says there at the end that what was decided upon, or what we decided on, was that we'd just go with what the private company said. This is the FBI that left no stone unturned when trying to bring down the president. In fact, they create facts to fit their narrative. But here, they just took CrowdStrike's word for it. Why? Well, because they know. They know Russia was behind it. They just know. They didn't need to investigate it themselves. They didn't need to do the forensics themselves. They know. They can divine motives. The narrative, the Russian collusion narrative, was in full swing in 2015. They used it to try to bring down the Trump campaign, and they used it for 2.5 years after he was inaugurated to try to bring him down. It finally all fell apart. It all fell apart earlier this year. You don't hear anything about Bob Mueller anymore. You don't hear anything about the 17 left-wing investigators. They were exposed. They were exposed by William Barr. It makes you wonder what William Barr is up to right about now. And I think the transcript reveals a little bit of that. The president asking about CrowdStrike. Look, if you can do us a favor, this would be really good. If you could help the attorney general to get to the bottom of all of this nonsense from 2015. Listen to this. This is from the transcript. This is President Trump. I'd like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot. He's referring to the history, the last few years. Our country's been through a lot, and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike, the server, they say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on. The whole situation, I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the attorney general call you or your people. And I would like you to get to the bottom of it. He said, as you saw yesterday, this is from the conversation he had in July. He's referring to Mueller's testimony, which was a spectacular flop. It says, for the left-wing media, that is, it says, as you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance, says the president. But they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it, if that's possible. If it's possible, no quid pro quo, but he asks for a favor. And the favor is not to investigate Joe Biden. Now, that did come up 540 words later. Oh, by the way, you should investigate Joe Biden, too. This investigator, this prosecutor that was fired 3 years ago, fired because of what Joe Biden said, fired because Joe Biden knew he was about to investigate his son. The president said, that's wrong. It shouldn't have happened. So yeah, look into that. But before that, it's CrowdStrike. Before that, it's the president saying, if it's possible, it would be great if you could look into this. This is the origin of the Russia collusion narrative. And you know what's amazing, really? Again, just going back to this conversation that the president had with Zelensky, is here, as I say, for 3 years, it was Russia, 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 Russia. And then now it's Ukraine. And you listen to this conversation or you read the transcript of this conversation and you see what President Trump and Zelensky are talking about with respect to they're not getting any help from Europe, from Germany. Germany looks real bad in this. The President Trump says, you know, Germany talks and talks and talks about helping Ukraine, but they don't do anything. There's no action there. He says, at least we are acting in support of the Ukraine. And there's even talk about how there should be a stronger showing of support from Europe with respect to sanctions on Russia. So this is the president having a conversation with the president of Ukraine, saying that you should be getting more support from Europe in your opposition to Russia. The president of the United States, he's come out so much stronger against Russia than Obama or Clinton or any of them did. Those were the ones that were leaning over and whispering to Medvedev, saying that, hey, as soon as I can get reelected, look, we'll have a lot more flexibility. These were the ones that were working out the quid pro quos, one after another after another. Joe Biden going over to Ukraine in 2016. If you don't fire that prosecutor, you don't get $1 billion. All of these facts, it's like they don't even exist in the world of the mainstream media. They don't exist. What does exist? Just fake narratives, fake stories, fake news. And then you get Adam Schiff saying things like what you heard earlier. Well, I know I didn't. I know he didn't say that exactly, but look, this is what he meant. And if you step back, you know he's just kind of a crime boss. He does it with the wink and the nod. Well, the circus goes on yesterday, and here is President Trump's reaction. He was in the middle of traveling, so he comes over to the gaggle of reporters, and he says this about all of these lies, clip five.
Here we go again. It's Adam Schiff and his crew making up stories and sitting there like pious, whatever you want to call them. It's just a disgrace. It's a terrible thing for our country. They can't do any work. They're frozen, the Democrats. They're going to lose the election. They know it. That's why they're doing it. And it should never be allowed what's happened to this president. And despite that, I think I've done just about more than any president in his first 2.5 years in office. If you look, I think you'll see very few could compete with the things we've done for our military, for the economy. We have the best economy anywhere in the world, by far. We've rebuilt our military. We've done so many things that are so incredible with tax cuts and regulation. And I have to put up with Adam Schiff on an absolutely perfect phone call to the new president of Ukraine. That was a perfect call. But Adam Schiff doesn't talk about Joe Biden and his son walking away with millions of dollars from Ukraine and then millions of dollars from China, walking away in a quick meeting, walking away with millions of dollars. He doesn't talk about Joe Biden firing a prosecutor. And if that prosecutor is not fired, he's not going to give him money from the United States of America. They don't talk about that. My call was perfect. The president yesterday of Ukraine said there was no pressure put on him whatsoever, none whatsoever. And he said it loud and clear for the press. What these guys are doing, Democrats are doing to this country, is a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed.
That's what the president said yesterday. What they're doing, it's a disgrace, and it should not be allowed. It's unlawful. They're the ones guilty of treason. They're the ones undermining the Constitution. They're the unelected officials who think they're God, who think they know more than God, who say they can read minds. They just know it. But you have a president and an attorney general who aren't backing down. This is from American greatness. Just yesterday, Julie Kelly says, despite the latest outrage and hysteria over Trump's otherwise innocuous conversation with Zelensky, the president is not backing down. It's clear he is committed to exposing the bad actors behind the biggest political scandal in American history, which is how the world's most powerful law enforcement and intelligence apparatus was weaponized against him to sabotage his campaign and derail his presidency. That's what's being exposed here. He says Trump, or she says, Trump has reason to believe Ukraine played some early significant role in the hoax. As I reported Wednesday, Joe Biden, Obama's emissary to the country, during the final years of his presidency, was a key figure to the collusion operation in 2016 and 2017. The Justice Department also confirmed that it is investigating Ukraine's involvement. It says a Department of Justice team led by U.S. Attorney John Durham is separately exploring the extent to which a number of countries, including Ukraine, played a role in the counterintelligence investigation directed at the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. So as a few commentators have said, they're guilty of exactly what they accused the president of, colluding with these other nations, pressuring these other nations, quid pro quos. It says Hunter Biden's shady business dealings in Ukraine aren't the only scandals Democrats have to worry about right now. Finally, exposing all the fabricated elements of the Russia collusion hoax, including the CrowdStrike report, will be a far greater threat to their electoral chances in 2020. See, they're being exposed. And if the president's going all the way back to CrowdStrike, this is a president who, for all of the liberals who say he's a dummy, he knows what happened. He knows what's going on. And he's exposing it. And considering all of this other fake news, all of these other fake narratives, would it come as a huge surprise to find that CrowdStrike lied or was working in collusion with the Democratic National Committee? Would it come as a big surprise to find that the DNC just made it up? That's what they've been doing. That's what Adam Schiff did yesterday. He just made it up. He got the transcript. They weren't expecting that. They've never expected a Republican administration to fight back and to expose this evil. But as the president has shown, he's not backing down. One more clip from yesterday afternoon. This is President Trump, clip 6.
I'm using Mexico to protect our border because the Democrats won't change loopholes in asylum. When you think of that, and I want to thank Mexico, 27,000 soldiers they have. But think of how bad that is. Think of it. Well, we use Mexico because the Democrats won't fix our broken immigration system. We need their votes. If we don't get their votes, we can't do it. And the Republicans are all on board. They want to fix it, but the Democrats won't do it. They don't want to talk about infrastructure. They don't want to talk about lowering drug prices. They don't want to talk about anything because they're fixated on this. And Nancy Pelosi has been hijacked by the radical left, and everybody knows it.
That's the president using the word hijacked. Another appropriate term. Divine. Hijacked. These are descriptive words. Meaningful words. Accurate descriptions of what we're seeing. My father says in the Saving America piece, for 8 years under President Obama, the forces of the radical left were on the march, virtually unchecked. Even Republican leaders caved in. And that was after they had taken control of Congress and had a lot of power to stop the president. He says Donald Trump has proven himself willing to take a stand while where others have not. It's quite something to behold. Him resisting these anti-American forces. He has inspired a few other leaders to challenge the radical left and to help expose it for what it is. He's inspired a few other leaders. We've talked about that before with respect to some in the United States that have come to his defense. But I think he's inspired some other leaders abroad as well, including Zelensky, including Boris Johnson, including Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. It's building and building to an explosion, as Mr. McDonald said in that trumpet brief. The sickness is through and through, and there's no ointment. Switching over to the recent article, Can President Trump Get Control of His Own Divided Government? My father says again, since Donald Trump became president, a dangerous level of corruption has been exposed in America's federal government. Officials within several powerful government agencies have worked actively to sabotage Mr. Trump and to overturn the results of the 2016 presidential election. This is what they've just never, ever, ever accepted or ever will accept. My father says this is treasonous behavior and a bigger threat to America than most people realize. It's treasonous. They won't accept it. You might have seen some of the clips on the conservative sites. Statements from Joe Biden. Statements from Nancy Pelosi. Statements from Gerald Nadler in 1998. Coming out against impeachment of President Clinton, saying that what you're doing by pursuing impeachment is you're taking away the votes, the only office in the United States, the only office where everyone votes is the presidency. And for you to come up with some fake charges to try to take down a president, you're stealing the votes of whatever it would be, 60-some million people. That's the position they took in 1998. And that was a situation, as I said the other day, where you did actually have a president lying under oath. There was an actual crime, you see. Here, there's none of that. There's all these narratives. There's the Schiff paraphrase. There's the Mueller team that just knows. They can divine it. They know the motives are wrong, so he's guilty. Their supreme law of the land is that Donald Trump is evil. And so that's how they view every event, every activity, every decision, every statement. My father says the facts reveal widespread complicity within the CIA and the Justice Department. And keep in mind, these are agencies that are supposed to be an extension of the presidency. I told you about the CIA established in the 1940s by Harry Truman. And back then, I'm sure it was just a little agency. Look, it would be nice to just kind of corral all of the intelligence so that I can get it in one briefing. They were there to assist, to support the presidency. And now, if it's a whistleblower, he is protected. He's untouchable. He's above the law. It's Donald Trump that's the problem. You see what's happened. Satan's come along and just flipped it on its head. Now it's the president that's under a nonstop assault. And you have the whistleblowers who leak and leak and leak. You have chairmans on committees leaking, lying. That goes on with impunity. They just can do it as much as they want. Widespread complicity with the CIA, Justice Department, and so on. My father says, finally, to make this reality more alarming, none of it would have seen daylight had Mr. Trump not won the election. But God wanted it exposed, and I'll explain why. That's the article from just a month or two ago, August 2019. Can President Trump get control of his own divided government? It says in the subhead, a biblical prophecy indicates yes. It's temporary, but yes, for a short time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're putting the finishing touches on yet another week of broadcasting here on KPCG and the live stream at kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.